God knows that each of us have come into this place today from our own journeys. Some of us have faced tragedies. Some of us have had obstacles. Some of us come laughing and celebrating. But however we have come to worship a Lord who is worthy. Would you stand as we join in our call to worship? Worthy of worship, hymn number 3. We'll sing verse 1.
Worthy of praise, worthy of honor and glory, worthy of our works of deep sea, worthy of
We greet you this morning in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. God is good.
All the time. God is good.
If you're a visitor with us today, we want to extend a special welcome to you. We're not going to make you stand up or recognize you or anything, but we do encourage you to fill out a visitor card and place that in the offering plate today. It'll help us get to know you and help you to get to know us better. You'll find those on the back of the pew in front of you. We will be speaking a little bit later in the service about the church has left the building, but we do want you to keep that in your prayers. Pray for sunshine. And we actually need sunshine on Saturday and Sunday, so pray for it to be sunny both days. But one announcement we do want to highlight is you have in your bulletin one of these blue sheets, and this is a fundraiser for the First Baptist Church of Elon is what it says. This is helping the youth on their way in missions this summer. So Thursday, April 23rd, that's this Thursday, you can take this with you to the Village Grill, and 15% of your total check will go towards our congregation's efforts in supporting our youth in this mission fund. So I want you to hang on to that. Matter of fact, if you'd like more, I think we could probably get more for you. If you know others, family and friends, coworkers, it doesn't require a whole lot of effort, just you got to eat. So take this and eat with this, and you'll be helping support the Lord's work. Today, as we worship, our challenge is one of patience. It's one of focus and one of listening to the voice of God. Would you wrestle with those challenges as we continue to worship?
Our opening scripture reading comes from Psalm 4. Answer me when I call, O God of my right. You gave me room when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. How long, you people, shall my honor suffer shame? How long will you love vain words and seek after lies? But know that the Lord has set apart the faithful for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. When you are disturbed, do not sin. Ponder it on your beds and be silent. Offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. There are many who say, oh, that we might see some good. Let the light of your face shine on us, O Lord. You have put gladness in my heart, more than when their grain and wine abound. I will both lie down and sleep in peace. For you alone, O Lord, make me lie down in safety. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Would you pray with me? Father, we gather here in this place, in your house, as a family calling your name. And as the psalmist wrote so many years ago, when we call your name, you hear us. Your presence is with us. And so this day, as we invoke your name in our time of worship, we just ask for your presence. And as we celebrate in your presence with us, may we turn our focus to you and what you would have us hear, what you would have us learn, what you would have us experience in this time of worship. Father God, we are thankful for your presence. And because of that, we lift up song to you. We lift up scripture, your word to you. And we lift up our bodies as an act of service to you this day. Father, as we gather in this place, we remember the sacrifice that your Son made, not just on the cross, but coming to this earth to live a life of love. And we are thankful for that motto as we carry that out, not just this day, but every day. Father, as we approach next Sunday, we are excited about the opportunity that will come as we leave the building. But Father, we know that you will be with us and you will be there to guide us. As we anticipate this time, may we be patient, knowing that you have a plan. We lift this prayer in your Son's Jesus name, we pray, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Please stand and sing our songs of praise. We have a new song that we want to teach you this morning, so please join us as we all stand and sing, Come As You Are.
Come out of sadness from wherever you've been. Come brokenhearted, let rescue begin. Come find your mercy, O sinner, come kneel. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Lay down your burden. Lay down your shame. All who are broken, lift up your face. O wanderer, come home. You're not too far. So lay down your hurt, lay down your heart. Come as you are. There's hope for the hopeless and all those who've strayed. Come sit at the table, come taste the grace. There's rest for the weary, a rest that endures. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can cure. Lay down your burdens, lay down your shame. All who are broken, lift up your face. O wanderer, come home, you're not too far. So lay down your hurt. Lay down your heart, come as you are, come as you are. Fall in his arms, come as you are. There's joy for the mourning, O sinner, be still. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Lay down your burdens, lay down your shame. All who are broken, lift up your face. O wanderer, come home. Come as you are, come as you are, come as you are.
Sing with us.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies
forth before me. Let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul, worship Your holy name. You're rich in love and You're slow to anger. Your name is great and Your heart is kind. For all Your goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, O my soul, oh, my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh, my soul, worship Your holy And on that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come, still my soul will sing Your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Bless the Lord, O my soul, oh, my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh, my soul, I worship Your holy name. Bless the Lord of my soul, oh, my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh, my soul, I worship Your holy name. Yes, I worship Your holy name. Lord, I worship Your holy name.
I had a deacon that when he wanted to know if there was anything going on that he should know about, he would come by my office and say, "Have you heard anything about anything?" So let me ask you, church, have you heard anything about anything? Because hopefully you have heard something about the church has left the building. And if you haven't heard about it yet, I'm praying for you. But it is something to celebrate, to be excited about, and this is our final Sunday before the big event, and it is a big event. It's an experience, I think, that we will not soon forget. For those of you who have not heard about it, we are going to not worship here in this space next Sunday, but instead we're leaving the building and going to the Burlington City Park, to That-A-Way Center, and we will worship outside. We'll worship in that area. We'll have Sunday school at 10:30. There'll be one adult class, one youth class, and one children's class, and they'll be meeting and doing their own things. Then we'll come together at 11:30 for worship, which will be a little bit different than what we normally do. It'll be a lot more relaxed, more casual. We encourage you not to come wearing a coat and tie next Sunday. You will be in the park, but we have T-shirts for you to wear, and those T-shirts are here. They look amazing, and they're available after the worship service. If you'll just check by the table out in the lobby, Colleen and Corey will be out there with the T-shirt list. I think there are a few extras. Is that right? A few extras if you haven't purchased one. They are available. And we're going to wear those T-shirts next Sunday so that we are a visible presence and that we can continue to use those shirts for years to come as we are leaving the building to do missions and to engage in our community. After worship, we'll have a hot dog lunch. Water will be provided. We ask if you want to bring something else, you're certainly welcome to bring your own cooler and soft drinks or juice boxes or whatever you like. But water will be provided. The hot dogs and chips will be provided. And we're asking if you would bring a prepackaged dessert, something like a Little Debbie cake is perfect. Bring enough to share with others who are there so that we can all have something sweet as well. And then after the meal, as you know, we have several ministry opportunities that we'll be ministering there in the community there at the park. And we had sign-up sheets for those for several weeks now. But if you didn't sign up, don't let that keep you from coming. There will be plenty of ways for you to just jump right in to participate in either the prayer group or the service group or even with the children's table or to just be there and be present and to fellowship. One thing we do have, we ordered these little Frisbees. We'll be sharing those with people in the park. We have about 50 of them. It's a slip disc. That's just a fancy word for a Frisbee. But on the inside of it, it says how to make the disc fly right, and it tells you the proper way to throw a slip disc. And then under that, it says how to make your life fly right, and it tells the story of the prodigal son. People will not throw away a Frisbee, by the way. So we have some of those. I thought I'd just see who wants to catch one. Here's one more. Heads up. So youth, you need to read the back of that very carefully. But we'll also be in the park having a good time and hope that that will attract friendships and build relationships. Be praying for this. We were going to pray today. I have a prayer walk. There's a 100% chance of rain, and I like to pray dry. So... We will not have our prayer walk today, but tonight in our adult Bible study time, we're going to incorporate a significant time of prayer for this, but we encourage you to continue to pray throughout the week. We're praying specifically that God will bring people to the park, that we will build those friendships and relationships, that God will use this to transform our lives as well as a congregation, and we're praying for sunshine. And I want you to pray for sunshine on Saturday and Sunday. Because there's an event in the park scheduled for Saturday, and if it rains on Saturday, that will be moved, you guessed it, to Sunday. So pray for both days to be beautiful. And tonight, I want to especially encourage you. Many of you don't come to our adult Bible study on Sunday evenings, and we understand that there are a lot of things going on in our lives, but if you can come to one, come tonight. We're going to be talking about how to share our faith without gimmicks, without pamphlets, without fancy patterns and acronyms, but how to simply tell our story to another human being in a way that's authentic, genuine, and real. So we want you to be there for that tonight. Supper is at 5:00 tonight, and then at 5:45 is the Bible study. Let's have a moment of prayer right here and now for this important ministry. Lord, we lift up to you and trust in you this business of leaving the church. Lord, we pray for those who are participating in this, that you would ready us, prepare us, that we would be prepared to share your love and your presence in very genuine ways. We pray for those who are uncertain and uneasy about this. It's out of our norm. It's out of our comfort zones, Lord, for many of us. But help us to see the bigger picture of following your voice. You are in the park already, working and preparing the way. We pray for those, Lord, that will be in the park that day, that they would see the joy and the life that you bring and give to your church. We pray, Lord, for those connections that we will make, that friendships will be made, that we will invest ourselves in people's lives in such a way that they will see your glory and say, this God thing is something good. Use us
and use the church has left the building for your glory, O Lord. Amen.
This time I want to invite our children to come forward for our children's time. Good morning. How are y'all doing this morning?
Good.
Is it the rain? Yes. Kind of bad, right? Can't play outside. How many of y'all play outside this weekend? There's beautiful sunshine, weather today.
Father, I'm thankful for these young men that gather up here this morning on Sunday. I'm thankful for their energy, but I also ask that today, not just today, but every day, that you allow them to grow to be more patient, because we know that you have a plan. We know that you are going to help us be patient, and when it's your time, you are going to call, you are going to listen, and some wonderful things are going to happen. Father, help us, each one of us, not just these young men up front, but those sitting in the congregation to be patient as well, as we seek to follow your will in your time, not ours. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen.
Please stand and sing our offertory hymn, At Calvary. It's number 138 in your hymnal. Let's sing the first and last verses. Please stand.
Bow your heads and pray with me to our Lord. Dear Lord, we come to you today offering you our small gifts, knowing that you have a bigger gift for us. We ask that you take these gifts that we bring to help multiply your kingdom and to do your work. In these things we pray. Amen.
He walked the dirty streets, famous for nothing. He said, come follow me, and they came. A face like all the rest, but something was different. The Son of God would lead the way, and soon they
there he goes, a hero, a savior to the world. Here he stands, with scars in his hands. With love he gave his life so we could be free, the savior of the world.
He spoke with clarity, walked across the sea. A single word would calm the storm. His touch could heal the sick, but he was called a hypocrite. He lay behind the stone. His death was shortly mourned. He left the curtain torn.
There he goes, a hero, a savior to the world. Here he stands with scars in his hands. With love he gave his life so we could be free. The Savior of the world.
He chose to take the cross, shed tears for the lost, the broken and the needy, forgiving those who were and will be. The angel made it clear, he told them, have no fear, he's not here, he's not here. There he goes, the hero, the savior to the world.
Here he stands with scars in his hands. With love he gave his life so we could be free. The savior of the world. The savior of the world. The savior of the
you to join me in the pastoral prayer and confession. Almighty God, we look to you, our helper. You created us, you save us, and you sustain us. And Lord, we need your sustaining power and love. For there are many of our congregation who are sick, who are fighting illness and disease. There are many who are grieving losses. There are many who feel very alone this morning. Perhaps they're alone in a hospital bed or at home or in an assisted living facility. We pray for your peace and presence in their lives. And forgive us, Lord, when we do not go to be the hands and the feet and the face of Christ your Son. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. Our second scripture reading is from Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 3. Hear now God's word. For there is still a vision for the appointed time. It speaks of the end and does not lie. If it seems to tarry, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. God's word. Amen.
Thank you.
There is a pattern in movies that they tend to follow the same sort of cliches or similar types of movements. For example, one of my favorite is, and think about how many times you've seen this in a movie, when the person is about to do something important, they're going to fire something at something, or they've got to press a button at just the right moment, and the person in the background is saying, "Wait for it, wait for it." I think if you were going to put the Gospel of Luke on the big screen, the scripture that we're reading today would have at some point someone saying, "Wait for it, wait for it." And it's a misprint, actually, or not a misprint, it's a human error from me. Luke chapter 24, verse 36 through 49 is our scripture for the sermon. And here we have seen the resurrection has taken place. The women have seen the tomb. There is an air of excitement, and people are on edge. And if you hear that wait for it, it creates a sense of anxiety, of near panic. What's going to happen next? When will this all be completed? And in verse 36, it begins saying, "While they were talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, 'Peace be with you.' They were startled and terrified and thought they were seeing a ghost." You can imagine, or maybe you can't imagine, what that would have been like to be there in the room and then this person, Jesus, flesh and blood, appears before them. And they think, is it his ghost? Is it a ghost? It's spooky. They were all startled and terrified and thought they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer, to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And see, I'm sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." They must have been overwhelmed with excitement to say, now the scriptures are open to them, their minds are opened, and they finally get it. They finally understand who he is and why he is and what he is and what he comes to do. They were overwhelmed to hear this, to understand it, and to know that now they're given a stake in this mission, that they are charged to tell the good news, to proclaim this life-changing story. Everything will be different from now. You ever have one of those moments in your life that defines you for the rest of your life? One of those moments where you know from this moment on, everything will be different. This was a moment like that, times 20 for the disciples. Then he tells them, not only are you to go and proclaim a message that will change history, that will change the world forever, he says, "I'm going to give you what the Father has prepared for you. I'm going to give you the power. I'm going to give you the ability to do incredible things and say incredible things." He's referring to the Holy Spirit. And I can imagine that if I were there, I'd be ready to bust through the door and say, "Let's get it done. Let's make it happen. Let's do this thing, God."
But instead, Jesus says, wait for it. He says, hold. He says, stay here into the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. I think it would have been even harder than a child watching a pot grow, a little stalk of bean from a single seed. It's an enormous amount of frustration that is being felt by the disciples in that moment to have to wait for it, to have to sit there and wait. Every one of us has these moments in our lives where we know where we're going. We know what we want to have happen. We know we need to make some kind of a change or a transition. And we can see a clear goal ahead. And yet we feel or sense or just outright know through some divine wisdom that we need to wait for it. That we need to hold on. I call that having our in the city moment. We, like the disciples, have to wait in the city for God's timing. But I don't want to dumb this scripture down to a simple sermon on patience, because I think it's about something much deeper and more complex than that. It's about something that's got far more at stake than just being a patient person. Here, this is about not only being patient, but being patient in that we are listening to the voice of God and following that voice, so that we create a lifestyle in which we are able to discern rightly when to go and when to stay. What's that song? You got to know when to hold them, know when to fold them, know when to walk away, and know when to run. As disciples, we are challenged and called to do that in terms of following God's voice. So that if we have a sense that we need to make a career change, good, follow God's voice in that and make it at the right time. Or perhaps we know that we need to witness to someone. This person needs to hear the gospel story. But in divine timing, it matters that we say what we need to say at the right moment, at God's moment, God's timing. To do so too soon may be to push someone away. To do it too late may be an opportunity missed forever. And so it is in church life. As we see God's vision for the future of First Baptist, and we know that we want this to happen and this to happen, and we feel like God's going to do this or that, but for now, maybe God says, wait for it. Stay into the city until you're ready. Sit here and be prepared. Allow the Holy Spirit time to lay groundwork and prepare. Have you ever heard the story of Balaam? It's in Numbers chapter 22. I challenge you to read it. In Numbers 22, we're told this story about a prophet named Balaam, and that Balaam is called on by the king of Moab to curse his enemies. Balaam is one who has power in his voice, and what he says will matter. And so the king of Moab knows, if I can get this guy to curse the Israelites, I can defeat them, I can beat them, I can win. And Balaam prays about it. What am I supposed to do? The king of Moab sent messengers to me, and they're asking me to go over there and meet with him tomorrow. What do I do? And God says, go. Go to him and say only what I tell you to say and do only what I tell you to do. The next morning, early, very early, Balaam hops up and gets on his donkey, and he starts riding his donkey to complete this mission, to do this great, wonderful thing for the Lord, whatever God wants. And yet the scripture tells us that along the way, God puts an angel in the road to kill Balaam, because Balaam is sinning by going. It's a head scratcher. I read that and I thought to myself, what's wrong with you, God? You told the man to go. He's only doing what you told him to do. But the Balaam can't see this angel of death, but Donkey can. And Donkey doesn't want to die. And so Donkey starts to go off the road and passes by the angel. And Balaam kicks it and curses it and beats it. And then the angel appears again in the middle of the road. This time, he scratches against the wall to get away from it, Donkey does, because Donkey don't want to die. And Donkey doesn't want Balaam to die. Finally, a third time, the angel is sent by God to kill Balaam for going and doing what it seems God told him to do. And Donkey just stops, because there's no way to go past the angel. And so Balaam kicks it and beats it, and then all of a sudden, God opens the mouth of the donkey. And I can't help but hear the voice of Eddie Murphy as he says, "Shrek?" And the donkey says, "Why are you beating me? Why are you treating me like this?" And you know, Balaam doesn't even question that. He doesn't blink an eye about talking donkey. He just says, "Because you won't go, donkey." And Donkey says, "Have I ever acted like this before? Don't you think that maybe something's going on here?" And then God opened Balaam's eyes and he sees the angel of death. And he is floored. And the angel explains it to say, "I'm here because God sent me, because your way is perverse before the Lord." Now that sounds really cryptic, doesn't it? It's a very tricky phrase in Hebrew. It's found nowhere else in the world but that one verse. And what it really means to say, and the best way to understand it, is that God is saying, "Balaam, you're going to do what I told you to do. Fine. You're going where I told you to go, and you're going to say what I told you to say, but your way is running recklessly ahead of me." Let that sink in. He's saying, "Your way is running recklessly ahead of me." In other words, you're not following the timeline. You're not following the time frame that the divine master has orchestrated and worked out. You can do the right thing at the wrong time. You can do exactly what God wants at exactly the time he doesn't want us to do it. It comes down to this. How do we shape our lives in such a way that we are living a lifestyle that makes it possible for us to follow God's timing? Are we praying deeply every day? Are we invested in reading and actually studying what the Bible truly says so that we know what is right and what is not right? Are we living a lifestyle of worship in which we are frequently engaged and in contact with Almighty God through prayer, through scripture, through worship, through meditating on his presence and being aware of his presence in all things, not just on Sunday morning for an hour, but every single day and every moment of every day? And through that lifestyle, we begin to learn not only what God wants us to do, but when God wants us to do it. It takes an incredible amount of patience, but it takes an incredible amount of faith also to wait upon the Lord. Let us pray. Teach us to wait. Teach us also to go. Teach us to act. Teach us to not act. Teach us that in all things and in all moments we would follow your way and follow your timing, Almighty. That we would be tethered to your will in such a way that we do not say or do anything you would not have us to say or do. And that we would only say and do the things you would have us to do and to say. But more importantly, God, that we would follow your voice in terms of the when, not just the what and the why. Help us, God, to not be like this ancient man in this ancient story whose way was running recklessly ahead of you. But would, O Lord, that we follow you and that you would lead us. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Would you stand together, if you're able this morning, to respond to God's word in song as we sing, I am thine, O Lord. It's number 290 in your hymnals. Please stand. Blessing as we go. May the peace of Christ go with you. May the voice of Christ lead you. May you follow with glad hearts. May God give you the energy and the strength for the task ahead. May God give you a vision of glory for the future. And may God give you the patience in all things. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.